We're back once again, only on It's Last Call. Last Call with the alcohol, only on thelastcallpodcast.com. And joining me here on location, this man here, well, he is the foremost expert on TNA wrestling. And, well, if you don't know his podcast, you definitely got to check it out. He gives you unfiltered access, uncensored opinions, and he pulls no punches. He takes no dives. I give you all the way from BQ Speaks. I give you its the man, the myth, the legend himself. I give you BQ. So, BQ, let's ask a big question. TNA, it's now rebranded. We're halfway through the new year. Is it good? Is it bad? Your thoughts? Because you're the expert. I'm just a neophyte compared to you. So, are they going in the right place? Are you all of a sudden going, okay, we're in trouble here. We need to abort.
I don't know if I would be an expert. There's a lot of people who probably consider me the exact opposite of that, but I like to think I'm somewhere in the middle. Yeah, we're halfway through the year, and I'm pretty happy with it for the most part as far as the quality of the television show. I think they've had a couple stinkers, but for the most part, I've enjoyed the show. It's been a little fresh because they're not really pushing the same people that they were last year. Not to say, the Josh Alexanders of this world aren't relevant, but I mean, we've got Moose at the top, and we've got Ali running the X division. There's some fresh things going on, but there's always going to be good and bad, and I think there's some areas where there's room for improvement. But for the most part, here in 2024, I think they've been doing a good job, especially considering. Really, they lost Scott D'Amore, or at least got rid of him, very early into the year. So we're thinking, this guy is going to lead the charge with this rebrand going into the year, and it's going to be his vision. And we learn very quickly that it's actually not going to be his vision. It's going to be somebody else's. So we just received a different bill of goods, but I think it's been fine. I've been assured too by people I've talked to that the changes were made because they needed to be made, because the rumors that came out was that these were knee-jerk reactions, and this was they were cutting budget, and they didn't know what they're doing. But based off my conversations, they actually very much know what they're doing. So yeah. I'm pretty optimistic. As I said, there's a couple stinkers. The broken mat is not working for me. There's a couple things not really working, but for the most part, I think it's been a good year. I don't think they've done enough to get people excited as far as bringing in new viewers, but I think the NXT connection is going to help with that. If it's not already, I don't really pay attention to viewership numbers, if I'm being totally honest. I don't know how much it's helping so far, but I think their eggs are in that basket at the moment, and I think that's going to be very helpful going forward. But as far as what they've done up to this point, I think they've just put on good solid shows, better than last year's, but probably nothing that is bringing in too many new viewers, unfortunately.
So let's start with the system, because I know that they are the big group, they're the heels, Moose is a champion. I think he's the right guy. Some people say he's too stale. Is he though, like, sort of a safe, perfect guy in terms of he's not an indie darling? You look at him and most people go, okay, well, I couldn't beat him up. He would kick my ass. He feels like he's a real athlete. I mean, if you're trying to market yourself to TV networks, viewers, executives, is he the guy you want as a champion? Because you can go, look, this is what, you can sell to people. This is what, a champion looks like, not a guy with his hand in his pockets, who's 180 pounds going little kicks to his shins. Like, he looks like the million-dollar, athlete.
Yeah, I actually do think that. I think he looks like a star. There's very few people. There's really few people in wrestling, if you really think about it, that look like stars. But definitely in the TNA landscape, which is a much smaller company, obviously, there's very few people that look like stars. Moose does look like he can beat you up, like he can hurt you. And man, no disrespect to Josh Alexander, because I'm a fan. He's been very, very nice to me and nice to my kids and all that. I took a picture with him I think post rebellion, and you know, one of my friends was like, "Dude, you look like if you threw a punch, you could take him out." You know, so even he's a smaller guy. Like he looks a little taller on TV than he is, but like Moose looks like a genuine star. Looks like when you say, "Hey, this guy's a pro wrestler," you would really buy it. You would believe it. And I know there's been very mixed reactions because I've seen, you know, some people blame, well, the viewership isn't up like it should be. It's because of the system. I'm like, man, I think the system's one of the best parts of the show. You know, I think, you know, if we're breaking it down a little further, Eddie Edwards, no one gets bland quicker than Eddie Edwards in this company. And they have done some repackage. I don't know if that's the right word. They've repackaged them a few times over the years, and it's worked, but it's always gotten stale again. And I think this is perfect for him. I think it's a great role for him. You know, they got Brian Myers kind of out of the comedy, and we don't really associate him with him being a jobber. You know, they got a belt on Alicia Edwards, where Alicia Edwards, as a fan, I can tell you, has won two matches in her entire time in TNA prior to being part of the system. So, well, I should say four. She had a couple squash matches, but yeah, man, I think the system is one of the best parts of the show. I would like to see Moose be the champion for a really long time. I just don't think it's going to happen because I think what they're going to do, I know we're going to get into Slammiversary here a little bit, but I think they're just saying, hey, we're just going to throw all his opponents at him at once so that he can beat him and look strong, and then we're going to beat him at Bound for Glory. Like, that's kind of where I think they're going with it. But I would like to see him just be the champion for a long time because he does look like a star, as you said. But I think they're going to be feeding into what the internet wants here sooner than later.
Let's talk about two people who've gone opposite directions. And usually, a lot of WWE guys come and they get either shoved to the front or they get repackaged. And these are two people I know you and I, probably had different opinions on when they came in. And now we have different opinions as they're here. AJ Francis and Ash by Elegance. I'm guessing when we both looked at Ash, like, okay, this is going to be great. We both looked at AJ Francis and went, oh my God, why? No, don't sign him. And yet it's been the opposite. So let's talk about AJ Francis for a second here. How surprised are you that he's actually like he's quickly becoming like the second big heel, and he seems like they figured out like this is what WWE missed on. Like, do not be this guy who does dives, who's sort of jokey. Like, you are a big asshole. Just be like that. You are kind of cool because you actually can talk, you can rap. You are a legitimate athlete, and you are a legitimate big guy. You could probably throw me through a window. Be that. Like, it seems he's just AJ Francis. This is the AJ Francis we should have gotten from NXT to WWE, and he seems to be almost better now that he's in TNA.
Yeah, he has made it very clear that he has a mind for the business that I think people just discounted for a very long time. He knows how to be a heel. He knows how to get heat. And there's really few heels in wrestling right now who are able to get heat without, how can I word it? There's a lot of cool heels in wrestling, you know, like there's heat, but then those heats start turning into cheers. And because people recognize those heels are doing good jobs. People recognize AJ Francis is doing a good job in his role, but he's still getting boos. I think he has just a much better mind for the business than he's been given credit for. Because when you're in that WWE system, we don't really know at the end of the day who is good and who's bad until they leave WWE. You know, WWE has done a good job of tapering. No, that's not the right word.
They know how to hide things. There's somebody, I think, put it bluntly, maximize your strengths, minimize your weaknesses.
Right. And I think we've learned how many wrestlers have very bad ideas because in AEW, they're kind of able to do what they want. You know, like someone who's actually really disappointed me in AEW is Bryan Danielson. Not from an in-ring standpoint, but now that I'm hearing, you know, interviews and some of these promos, I'm like, dude, this guy is as indie outlaw as they come. You know, he's getting injured on a regular basis because he's doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. He's perfect for Tony Khan, you know, but it kind of made me realize, like, yo, someone like him needed to be produced, and they were produced, and they got over for being produced. So we just don't know until, and people may completely disagree with me on that, on my assessment of Bryan Danielson. Jon Moxley's another one. He was actually my favorite wrestler as Dean Ambrose in all of wrestling. He's my least favorite wrestler in all of wrestling. Now that I see, oh, this is really him. You know, we got AJ Francis out of that top dollar role, and it's like, whoa, this guy knows what he's doing. He knows that he's not going to give you 5-star matches, so he says, okay, I got to get over this way. And everything he does is so convincing. You buy it, and as you said, he's a legitimate athlete. I've met him twice now. Is it twice? Yeah, I've talked to him twice now, and he's a great guy. You know, he really sits and talks to the fans. You know, he's not one of those like, hey, you take a picture and he just brushes you off after. Like, he'll really talk with you. And he was telling me, you know, he has a lot of very legit connections, a lot of very legit sponsorships. You know, the Cheez-It champion thing, he's like, yo, Cheez-Its was paying me good. After Joe Hendry did that song on me, they just up my, you know, they just paid me more. They up my pay, you know. This is someone who has some legitimate connections, and he's helping the company so much because what was told to me was that TNA wants to be more involved with celebrities, public figures, influencers. They're not going to wrestle on the show. They're not going to be a part of it in that sense, but they just want them associated with the product to help with just the brand recognition, to give it a little bit of a cool factor. And, you know, the majority of these people have funneled in through AJ Francis. You know, they've got the Lars Fredrickson's and I can't even think who else at the moment. They've got a couple people here and there. Moose obviously has his connections, but the majority of these influencers, public figures have been involved with TNA this year so far are because of AJ Francis. And he has helped breathe new life into Rich Swann. That was, you know, I talk about someone who was stale. Rich Swann really, really needed this. I'm told they might be adding another member here soon. I don't know if they're going to go through with it or not. Someone who probably needs it, to be honest. So, yeah, AJ, I've enjoyed everything he's done. I mean, from the very beginning, when people were like, "Oh, here's Flop Dollar," from his very first promo, I'm like, "I'm into this. I like this." I've never been turned off by anything he does. To me, he's the most entertaining part of the show, and the company's really benefiting from having him involved. He's to the point. I mean, yeah, the dude's not the best wrestler, but you could put him in the main event for the world title. Maybe some WWE fans would be like, "LOL TNA," but as far as the TNA fans, they'd be like, okay, I can buy it. He's earned that spot. You know, he has not come off like a jobber. And he might be the only person to save the Digital Media Championship. Probably, it's probably, there's probably no human being alive that can save that thing. But if anyone can do it, it's him. So I'm really pleased as a fan with his work this year, and especially for what he's just been able to do with Rich Swann. The whole first class thing is great. And he's just very entertaining. He's very good.
On the flip side, Ash by Elegance. And look, Ashley Sadorj, beautiful woman, fantastic athlete. It's not from a lack of trying. We could look and go, okay, she tried this new gimmick, and maybe it was just too many people thought it was, oh, it's a Toni Storm ripoff. It's not. Maybe it's just a WWE thing. It's not. Maybe it's just she's just not a good wrestler. She's an athlete who tries to be a wrestler, but this, it just hasn't clicked. Everything has been bad, and I know you feel bad also because you started as a fan, but what the hell has happened? And is this just a case of somebody who, in theory, it's a great idea, in practice, it's like, okay, yeah, this dog is not going to hunt.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I said about AJ Francis, and then I'm talking about the Bryan Danielsons and the Moxleys. you never really know how much someone gets it until they leave that system. And they've, as you said, WWE did a pretty good job of, hiding people's weaknesses. And I think we see a lot of wrestlers leave that. We see an AEW, a lot to bring them up again, but a lot of these people leave their system and are like, okay, now I'm going to utilize my ideas. And you see why WWE didn't use those ideas. I think it was Disco Inferno recently that said there's a reason WWE fires these people. They're, over the years, they'll get rid of Keith Lee or whatever. You're sitting here like, oh my God, what are they doing? What are they thinking? And then you see him in AEW, like, okay, now I see why they had nothing for him. And actually, I actually kind of like Keith Lee, but that's just kind of an example that came in my head. And I think with Ash, I know she, the only thing she really did was be the 24/7 champion, which is crazy. But I just think a lot of time passed, and I said, I don't think she has it. And which is it really weird because she's an incredible athlete. As you said, she's beautiful, so she's got the look. But there is something that is not clicking. And when, I don't want to be mean because I'm a fan of hers. I don't want to be mean, but someone kind of sold Gail Kim some snake oil because I remember an interview where she was recommended to Gail Kim. And, Ash was like, you're going to see me do things you've never seen before. The snake's out the cage. And we just haven't seen that. She's added a couple moves to her offense. I think it was going an okay direction until it might have been No Surrender. I don't remember the exact TNA Plus show, but she was wrestling Havoc, and she all of a sudden busts out these garlic cloves, and there's holy water, and it just became a comedy gimmick all of a sudden, where there were some comedy elements involved, but I wouldn't have called it a comedy gimmick. And then she does this, and it's like, what? This is not funny, number one. And number two, we know they're trying to push her to wrestle Jordynne Grace, who's on fire in the wrestling world right now. And you're just like, that's when people stop buying it. They're like, I don't want to see this match. And as the weeks have progressed, it's been more comedy based. And I had said on my Impact Lounge podcast that the missed opportunity was this Against All Odds show. They had, she showed up at NXT Battleground. She's a recognizable name to that audience. Jordynne takes her out with the belt, and they've had no interaction this year. Like Ash has been saying, hey, she keeps showing up for all the title matches, but her and Jordynne haven't really had interaction up until NXT Battleground. So then we got the TNA Plus show the next week, and you would just think Ash was gonna get back at Jordynne. And Jordynne finishes the match with Tatum Paxley. Ash goes into the ring, and the fans were into it. The crowd was like, oh shit, here we go. They're finally gonna like mix it up. And within seconds, Jordynne is getting the upper hand. And Ash is doing bad comedy on the outside. And that's when, for me, it was dead. And I said, I don't care if she brings a gun to the ring the next week on television in front of a smaller crowd, in front of a taped crowd. I was like, it's done. Like the heat, there's no heat they can possibly get anymore where people are going to care about this. And, what I told was that this was, what I was told is that this was Artie Evans, one of his projects. He has left the company. But where they're trying to course correct is that they're trying to get the gimmick to be more Ash than it has been the personal concierge. He's done 90% of the talking. There's times he fills in for Ash. Like Ash isn't even there, and he's there. And the gimmick has become him. And he's doing an excellent job, but he's completely overshadowed her. So I know that they're going to try to course correct, but I thought the turning point was her coming with the garlic and the holy water against Havoc, who I don't want to call her a jobber, but I mean, because I think they were not far removed from being the tag team champions. But this you weren't wrestling someone at the top of the card here. You're wrestling in the bottom of the card. You're doing some bad comedy, and I just think it's going to be very difficult for her to get over at this point. And that one opportunity was the Impact Plus show to follow up on what we saw the week before, and instead keep Jordynne Grace strong is what they decided to go with. And they're going this direction. They're going to wrestle Slammiversary, I think, and nobody wants to see it. Jordynne Grace is just hot, hot, hot. She's on fire right now, and Ash by Elegance is ice cold. And I really wouldn't be shocked. I don't know how long she signed for. I wouldn't be shocked if they don't pull the plug on her this year, which kind of sucks because, again, I'm a fan of hers. But even when I remember her debuting in NXT, I was like, she came out and she did a, they said, well, she's a, I think she's a gymnast or something along those lines.
But she just comes out. Maybe it's something wrong. You might agree that she reminds me a lot of, people are going to hate me for saying this, Zach Wilson, where you see the talent and you go, I can fix this. I can do this. This is going to be great. And then it's like, you realize, yeah, she gets the talents there, but the brain, the understanding, the psychology, just the mental aspect of the game is missing. Is it safe to say with her, it's like she can do the athletic moves and all this, but in terms of, you know, presence, timing, all of this, it's still just like, it just isn't there.
Right. It's just not there. You know, I was saying when she came out NXT, she came out and did a flip. I don't remember what they're called. My daughter did gymnastics for a while, and I remember she used to do that. So I'm kind of like familiar with the move. I just can't think what it is, but it's kind of like a side flip. Like it's almost like a handstand, but their hands don't touch the ground. It's like a cartwheel, but their hands don't actually touch the ground. It's like a side flip type of thing. And I'm like, wow, this girl's really impressive. And then she had the match and I was like, oh, that did not hit, you know? And ever since that time, it just still really hasn't hit. But to kind of go back to what I was saying, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't pull the plug this year, like completely. And hopefully they don't. Hopefully they figure it out. But I was comparing her to Aaron Rex on my podcast a few weeks ago where, oof, you know, he came in and it fizzled out. Like, it was like, whoa, this actually is not working. And then they pulled the plug 6 months later. And I'm concerned that that's going to happen with her because I know I'm repeating myself, but I stand by the fact that that Impact Plus, that TNA Plus show was the opportunity to get her serious, get her back on track, get some heat to deliver like a real genuine beatdown of Jordynne Grace. And then they could have really course corrected her from there, but instead they did champagne to the eyes. I'm blind. She gets on Twitter saying, I'm going to sue Jordynne Grace. It just got silly very fast. And I'm very worried about this gimmick. And so, she might win the title. That's the worst part about it.
I don't see it, but maybe I'm hoping it's something else. But we'll go there. Let's start with TNA Slammiversary, though. It's going to be in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Before we get into the matches itself, what do you think of that? Because usually it's been like, all right, well, we'll do the U.S. tour. They're going a little bit big. They're going into Montreal. It's, you know, there's a lot of wrestling history there. There, you know, it is a big fan base that sometimes doesn't get enough love. Is this a smart move for TNA to do something like this? Of, all right, well, we're going to leave the American market and go up to Canada and do this, the Verdun Auditorium.
Oh, yeah. No, that's there. I know the company is very excited about the tickets and the people there are excited for it. This is going to be the biggest crowd we've ever seen in the modern TNA era. And I mean, I'm talking, when I say modern era, I just mean since they got off Spike TV, you know, like this version of TNA / GFW / Impact, like this is going to be the biggest crowd we've seen. It's probably going to be a very, very hot crowd. And you need crowds like this. Like, you know, I was talking about Against All Odds. They had a really hot Chicago crowd. You have to have those hot crowds because if you see the people excited and having fun, you start associating that with, okay, I think I can have fun watching this product. If you think about NWA when that first came out and the fans were having an absolute blast in the crowd and you're kind of like, yo, I kind of want to be a part of this. I want to watch this show. And now, you know, now the crowd is, they're engaged, but they're significantly less engaged, and it's kind of like, okay, blah. And unfortunately, TNA dealt with that for a very long time, just audiences sitting on their hands. And then if you're tuning in for TNA, you're just like, yo, the people there aren't even excited. Why should I watch this show? And I think they're really going to benefit from doing this show there, from doing some television there, which I would imagine will probably still have a pretty solid crowd, even for TV. And I think, you know, they've always done very well in Canada. And I know that at one point in time, they were expecting to do a lot of shows there because, you know, I was talking to Taryn Terrell after she was released, and she said, well, they released me because I can't get into Canada, and they're expecting to do the majority of their TV from Canada. And then that didn't happen. So I remember that pissing me off quite a bit as a Taryn fan, but that's neither here nor there. It's good to see them back there. It's a place that's treated them very well. They experimented with going to Windsor, Scott D'Amore territory. Everything worked out just fine. So I think Montreal is going to be very good for them, and I think the show is going to be a lot of fun. I think there's just going to be a lot of energy. I think it's going to look great on TV. So I think it was really, really good idea and a great time to do it.
So right now the main event, and this is so far, that's the only one we know. It's got to be Moose versus Josh Alexander versus four of their opponents. And from what I've heard, it's probably going to be. I have no spoilers. I'm not Dave Meltzer. I'm not going to just get say this is going to happen because I don't know. I'm just guessing, but I'm assuming it's probably like Steve Maclin, Nick Nemeth, Joe Hendry, Mike Santana.
Yeah,
Of
that's what
those, yeah. Of those guys, who would you want to beat Moose eventually? Because Hendry seems to be the hot flavor. Everybody loves, I believe in Hendry. He's his NXT, videos have taken off. I know you're a big fan of Mike Santana because he has that cool factor. He seems to get the lingo. Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler, is probably their best sort of name in terms of popularity around pro wrestling. And I like Macklin just because he never really got that chance. He got the title, but he got injured, and it was like, crap. He's on the verge of being bigger. It's just timing really hurt him.
I think the person I want to see beat Moose ultimately is Mike Santana. I think it's going to be Joe Hendry though. And I think that I was pretty upset when they announced this match. I'm not going to lie to you, because I know Josh Alexander is a good year removed away from when he gave up the title. I think he should be nowhere near the championship scene right now. I don't think he should be in the mid card or be a jobber, but I just think they have to find the right storyline for him. They had a nice little one going with Hammerstone for a while, obviously, but no one's asking for him to be champion right now.
Quick question, where is
And
Hammerstone? I mean, because they signed him. Was it just like a couple match deal? Did he leave? Like, what the hell happened with him?
I tried to find out. I don't believe he's gone. I think he's injured, but
They don't like
I
telling too
cannot.
much secrets. It's not like
It won't
AEW where
get.
they blab stuff.
So TNA will not. I've learned that to where Meltzer can be like, well, this guy's hurt. This girl's hurt. TNA does not give that information out. So I try to find out what was going on with Hammerstone and Killer Kelly, I believe, and I was basically told to shut up and color. So they said that's not information they put out. So, okay, cool. With Josh, though, I just think I would have rather seen them find a good program for him at Slammiversary. So really something for all these guys, you know? Like I feel like it was kind of the lazy route of, hey, we don't want to build a challenger, so we're just going to give him everybody from the top of the card. That way he can look strong until he loses at Bound for Glory. So I'm pretty disappointed they're going this route. I like one-on-one matches. With the minute you add a third, fourth people like person, I start losing interest. That's just my personal taste. But I'm pretty disappointed that they're going this route, because now you're all these people who are supposed to be at the top of your card. We're going to see all of them take a loss at the pay-per-view, and then we're supposed to believe that they can wrestle at the one of those
Yeah.
guys that's going to challenge Moose at Bound for Glory. So
Well, and I guess the problem though is on the flip side. All right, let's say you it's Moose versus let's just say Joe Hendry. Who do you put other people with? Because you have Mustafa Ali, who is killing it right now. Who's been one? If Moose has been the best male wrestler, AJ France has been like the second best. Ali's sort of in that one in between, like 1B with. You know, of the presidential, you know, entourage, the I, you know, the whole political act, which is brilliant. I mean, he is a guy that you can arguably say WWE screwed the pooch by firing him. And even they said, yeah, we should, but they had buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they don't want to have him lose his title because that would be a shame. You don't want to have AJ, you know, lose right off the bat. And then you're looking, it's almost like, crap, there's not a lot of big heels who they can put these guys with. So how much of this is like, all right, we're gonna have to start turning some people to heel because we really don't have a lot of heels.
They don't, but as long as Moose is the champion, I don't think they. It's too big of a problem. They're probably gonna have to turn a few people at some point. We'll see if where this Jake something thing goes, if that elevates him at all. But I expect the system to kind of be around for a bit. So I don't think they have to really elevate anyone right now. I would have, honest to God, had the Slammiversary main event Moose versus Jeff Hardy, because I mean really. Moose versus Joe Hendry actually would have made a lot of sense, unless they want Joe Hendry to win at Bound for Glory. That's where I'm saying they should have just threw Jeff Hardy at him, because this is in Montreal. They're gonna pack the place. They don't have to go out on a limb and stack this card. Like they're gonna pack the place no matter what the card is. So I wish they kind of went that route, to be honest. I don't know how good the match would have been. But if you're trying to do Joe Hendry winning at Bound for Glory, that's just what I would have done.
Well, I
Yeah.
guess, yeah, here's a question, because you and I are saying this as fans. You know, as a fan, we love it, and you're a better fan than I am. But as you know, if you're Gail Kim, if you're Tommy Dreamer, and you know you're trying to get the locker room to be, you know, positive vibes and everything, how tough is that selling to people? Hey, by the way, we know you've killed it, we know you've stayed positive, but instead of giving, you know, you, Steve, or you got one of the main event spots. Yeah, we're gonna give it to Jeff Hardy, who basically has flamed out of WWE because of drug issues, and then left. Went to AEW, also had drug issues, and then left. But hey, we're gonna reward him. It's almost like, you know, good behavior doesn't mean crap. Just give it to the, you know, the nostalgia act, which I know they did with Matt Hardy, and people were upset. If they think with Jeff would have been almost like really the spit in the face of, yeah, screw being a company guy, just. It's old Scott D'Amore trick of we'll kick any WB guy and shove him right in front.
Yeah, and you're probably right about that. It actually makes a lot of sense. So, you know, maybe they're just gonna go the Hardys win the tag team titles. They're gonna win some kind of championship. I can promise that Matt and Jeff Hardy will win some kind of title, and Nick Nemeth is gonna win some kind of title. Like there's no way that these guys are doing TNA runs without winning a championship at some point. But yeah, you're probably right about that. I think they've had to course correct a lot because they weren't prepared for the rise of Joe Hendry, and now they're like, oh shit. I think whatever plans they had for the year are completely scrapped. So I'm just really curious to see how they build this Joe Hendry thing and what they do at Slammiversary. Like I said, for me it's too many people, but you know it's I'm intrigued. I'm still intrigued with where they're going with it all.
Speaking of Joe Hendry, he's been I think if you, we thought Jordynne Grace was the biggest benefit of a WWE NXT partnership, it's Joe Hendry. So, how happy is TNA with this? And how surprised are you that people who are TNA fans are pissed about this? Because this is miles better than the AEW TNA, you know, partnership, which was Tony Khan, you know, looking like an idiot going on TV, crapping on TNA. They couldn't do anything because he put in the contract, you can't make fun of Tony Khan, and then Kenny Omega and everybody just like crapping on TNA and them being like, you know, the The gimp in the corner taking, going, "Yes, thank you, sir. Can we have some more?"
Yeah, that was a nightmare. And unfortunately, I learned this at Hard to Kill. I'm just not allowed to repeat it, but all I can say is that whole story did not go the direction it was supposed to go. There was a situation that caused it to take a very quick, and I'm not talking about Kenny Omega getting hurt either. There was a situation that caused it to go south very quickly, and they just never really creatively were able to bounce back from it.
You can say
So,
it was Sammy Guevara basically going, "Oh, I don't want to do this. I'm going to do my own thing." And next thing you know, it set the tone for like, "Well, screw this. If you're an AEW guy, why should I have to job to a TNA guy?" I mean, it's they basically made it look like TNA was should be grateful to even be on the same platform.
yeah, I agree with that. But, what I'm referring to was something that happened within TNA that kind of or the partnership. One of the wrestlers just caused the partnership to go bad. But yeah, you saw Sammy Guevara. He wasn't interested in losing to anyone from there. Private Party came over, and they're pretty much jobbers in AEW. They didn't want to beat them, and you know, it was an absolute nightmare. I couldn't wait for it to be over. I know that they just had a different vision for how that was all supposed to ultimately play out, and they couldn't get there, and they look like complete idiots for it. And when it comes to the Joe Hendry thing, I think too many TNA wrestling fans in general. So I'm not going to just say TNA fans. They care too much about what goes on between the ropes. And they were very offended when Joe Hendry was eliminated so quickly. He was over. He was the most over person in the match. He's the most over person associated with NXT at the moment, period. TNA got what they wanted out of it. They got what they needed out of it. There is demand for Joe Hendry. People like to use the term buried. He was buried. Like, buried means you're irrelevant. Buried means you don't get a reaction. Nobody cares. He wasn't buried. Like, people actually, you know, that you should want to see him get his comeuppance now. I mean, that's kind of how this whole thing works. But I think too many fans just over the years just spent too much time smarting themselves up to the business, caring too much about what goes on between the ropes. And there's a bigger picture that is happening here that is completely going over everybody's heads. And TNA's really excited. Like, from what I talked to over there, like, pigs and shit with how this Joe Hendry thing is going right now. Like, they have no concern. They don't feel, that's why that Frankie Kazarian was in the match to represent TNA as a wrestler. For people who wanted someone from TNA to last a long time in a battle royal and get it in and show what they can do, that's why he was there. Joe Hendry was there for a completely different purpose, to make NXT fans like, yo, we want to see this guy. We didn't even get to see him. He came down, cut this promo. We were really, really into it. Ah, it was taken away from us. So we want to, you know, they're going to be more interested for the next time he shows up on the show. And now maybe they'll check out TNA. You know, Jordynne Grace had a great match with Roxanne Perez. I thought it was phenomenal. It didn't move the needle for TNA because all she did was go there and wrestle a match. You know, it wasn't something people were emotionally invested in storyline wise. She just wrestled a very, very good match. I'm sure they got a couple extra eyeballs, but you know, there's a demand for Joe Hendry. Like, the NXT audience like Jordynne Grace. NXT as a company likes Jordynne Grace. Like, there's an actual demand for Joe Hendry. So they're, you know, TNA is very happy about it. I think the fans are thinking too small. Maybe not thinking too small, but they're thinking a different kind of big. They're thinking, let Joe Hendry wrestle and people are going to see what a good wrestler he is, and then they're going to come and watch him wrestle. Like, that's not going to work. So I guess I'm one of the few, but I'm happy with how that came off, and they're doing the relevant numbers that they need to hopefully build from it.
I'm playing fantasy booking. I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, we all
And
are.
I'm look, I'm not gonna go, "Oh yes, Roman Reigns coming over TNA." Trust me, I am not on edibles.
Right.
That down the line, though, could we see, because WWE has a lot of people who are just sitting and catering. What are the chances they might start sending people who are like veterans who they don't want to stick in NXT because they don't want to, kill the young kids, but have a connection to TNA? Like, right off the bat, Naomi came into the Royal Rumble, had a great pop, and now she's just buried. And maybe that's, she's just, I get it. Her family was there, her husband was there. She wanted to go back. I get it, but she is as cold as ice right now. Bobby Lashley came, when Vince was there, he was doing great. Now that Triple H is there, it's like, he's disappeared. AJ Styles seems to not really have a plan going forward. Possibly even, the New Day, because they feel stale. I mean, with all Mishin, who everybody knew is, Mia Yim, who was hot in TNA, came to WWE, got paid, which I'm happy for. She bought her mom a house, but all these, they're stuck in WWE doing nothing. There's not enough room. Is there a possibility that WWE goes, hey, we'll send an invasion force to TNA, get people happy, get less people who are, upset about not doing something, and sort of just keep people happy and sort of build the bridge for TNA and go, okay, well, we need them to reheat. You guys need some people, and we're not sacrificing any of the big players like CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, or Bianca Belair.
In a perfect world, that sounds great. It would be great to freshen up the TNA product like that. I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't see people who had some kind of ties to the company returning. Who was the female you said was ice cold?
Naomi.
Oh my God, yeah. Whoo. Yeah, cold as ice, absolutely.
And I get it. I mean, you want to go back to your husband. You want to go back to your friends. And they probably offered her more money. But it's like she was beloved in TNA, and now she's just back in catering.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we didn't see one or two names, but the way this was really communicated to me, and I've said it a few times, that like WWE is going to take some people from TNA if they feel like it can benefit their product. They're not going to grab people just to do it. But I also don't think they're going to just send people to TNA. Like their TNA's benefit from this is the brand recognition that they're getting. People are thinking, well, this is going to be a one-for-one exchange. Joe Hendry and Jordynne Grace went there, so now we're going to get this and this back. I don't think we're going to get the WWE people on TNA's television as much as people think, or as much of people are fantasy booking. What you're saying makes perfect sense. Why not send, this person and that person over? I also think there's something to be said with WWE saying, I'm not sending Naomi to go work a set of tapings for 100,000 people and get hurt. So that's why I think it's going to be the lower level NXT people, the Tatum Paxleys and all that. That's just what I think we're going to get on TNA programming. Again, I know fans are fantasy booking like one for one exchange, or we're going to get this main eventer and this person. I don't think TNA is asking for that. I think TNA wants their best wrestlers on NXT television, I think is the most simple way to put it. It's giving a little star power to NXT because relative to TNA stars, Jordynne Grace going in there was a big deal. Joe Hendry going there was a big deal. Moose, if he gets to go there, is a big deal. But they're more concerned with our best wrestlers being on their television for with five times the viewership, six times, seven times the viewership. And looking good and shining and getting over, and we're going to benefit from that. So again, I think people are thinking too much about the wrestling, what goes on, what the dream match is, and the matches they want to see. That's just not what this partnership, I think, is going to be about.
So here's the part where you and I are having problems with, and everybody is, because it's real world versus wrestling world. That is, recently we saw one of the biggest heat things for TNA. We had the date, PCO and Steffi DeLander, and I know you were like, oh God, there's a date. What the hell? Who's writing this? Did Vince Russo creep in here? And it actually turned pretty well because AJ Francis turned it into what we wanted. Have any choke slam Steffi DeLander as he got tied up? So here's the question first off. Why is that a bad thing? Because I mean, I know there's intergender wrestling, and it's now becoming more clear. Look, pro wrestling is not real feet, people. Spoiler alert, it's like a live action movie with, they actually do their own stunts. If anybody thinks it's real, you need help. I mean, so if it's okay, we see this in Netflix and, Marvel movies and Amazon movies where women get beat up and thrown, basically thrown from helicopters and all these stunts. Why is it bad that Moose grabs a woman through by the throat and choke slams her through a table?
You said Moose, you meant AJ
We said, all right,
Francis.
AJ France. Yeah. You know what I mean? But why is it bad?
So I don't have an issue with intergender wrestling because if the wrestlers want to do it, who the hell are we to be like, hey, you shouldn't be, we don't can't dictate what they're comfortable with and their career. What I said was, I don't think AJ Francis putting his hands around Steph DeLander's throat was, I wouldn't have gone that direction. I think that's where you're like kind of coming close to crossing the line. I wouldn't do a close fist to a girl's face. Like I think there's a couple things you have to avoid. But like you brought up Marvel, if Black Widow's getting her ass kicked, or is the other Avengers just standing around and watching it happen? That was kind of like an issue I had too, where it's like, hey, this girl's about to go through a table. We've got all these security for other angles and people running in and post-match attacks, and everyone is just watching a female go through a table. And that's where I had a little bit of an issue. Like, if you would have just sent a bunch of wrestlers out to save her, and AJ Francis just really quick puts her through the table, I think that would have just had more of an effect, but I thought the whole thing was kind of a mess. Tom Hannifin is calling the moves like it's a match instead of showing any kind of outrage. He shows like very fake outrage like Vince McMahon used to. I just thought the whole thing was very bad. And I keep saying I'm not turned off by the PCO Steph DeLander angle, but I thought, yeah, putting his hands around her throat. Putting it through a table, no one coming to help, and then the commentators calling it like it's a wrestling match. Oh, here's the choke slam, instead of like, get your hands off her. There's just more elements to it that should have been there that just
Yeah,
weren't.
which I get, but on the flip side, we've seen, and it's more WWE also. They're as guilty of it, like Rhea Ripley, dropping male wrestlers, body slamming them, and then as the baby face comes and she has a chair, they have to duck, keep running, avoid it. Becky Lynch knocking out, Dominic Mysterio with one punch. It's like, okay, if a guy looks like an idiot, he looks like, a bitch, and there's no comeuppance. There's no cause effect and a reaction or like this or if you just but you as you said play stupid games you get stupid prize. Like if Stephanie Lander slaps AJ France and you're trying to get him as a big heel, it's like what do you want to do if he does nothing? It's like, wow, you got punked out. And I guess that's the thing. It's like, how tough is it now, especially in today's era, where if this was 20, 30 years ago, when the famous, Beulah McGillicuddy getting pile driven, Dusty Rhodes slapping Baby Doll, we'd go, yes. And now, because of Time's Up, Me Too, and I'm not advocating violence for women, but it's almost like now, okay, we don't want to get the toy companies upset with us. We don't want to get the sponsors upset with us. We really don't want to get the women's groups upset with us. So it's almost like you have to neuter a lot of things, which both female and male wrestlers hate.
Yeah, it's all so hard to navigate, and I think that's why it's important to bring people in who aren't wrestling people, and that's what kind of TNA is doing right now. They're bringing in television people, and I think bringing in people who know how to produce television, have worked on TV shows, worked on movies. I think that's more beneficial than just putting wrestling people in those places. Because you're right. I mean, there's it's almost a lose-lose scenario how that whole thing was laid out. I don't know. I think there would have just been more heat if a bunch of guys came down to try to save her, And AJ Francis just picked her up real quick, not doing a wrestling move, just kind of picks her up, throws her to the table, and then him and Swan just take off real quick. So they just look like dicks. But I don't know.
I think I look. I get where you're at, because remember I had Taya Valkyrie on when she was at Lucha Underground. Now look, I love Taya Valkyrie, one of my favorite wrestlers. I know you've dealt with her. Wonderful woman. I remember asking her when she wrestled Brian Cage, and like, why the hell do you want to get power bomb? He looks like he could put, flip my car up. And he's like, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to be known as a female wrestler. I want to be a wrestler. So, as you said, as I've said, how tough is it when you and I are looking at this logically, like, oh, we can't do this. And then you'll have a Steffi Delanders, the Taya Valkyries, the Jordynne Graces, and even Rhea Ripley's going, but I don't want to be treated like that. I want to be just like my peers. If it's good for the goose, I want to be, it's good for the gander. I want to be a wrestler, not a female wrestler.
That's why there's WWE and everybody else. The rest of the wrestlers who have that mindset are wrestling in the indies and for small companies. That's why Taya Valkyrie's never. I love Taya, don't get me wrong, but WWE is looking for entertainers, not people who want to prove to the world they're a good wrestler and that they can hang with the guys. That Their audience is not looking for that. So, I don't know. I love Taya. Again, I don't really have an issue with intergender wrestling, but it's hard because it's not for everybody. It's very hard to lay that stuff out.
These are questions for much, I guess, more in-depth people of the TV world than us. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to have on the show. I give you the TNA expert, the man who pulls no punches and takes no dives. I give you from BQ Speaks. I give you it's BQ himself. BQ, before I let you go, where can fans check you out at? Where is the Twitter page, Instagram, website, YouTube channel? Where can fans hit you up at?
So I send people to two locations, either Twitter, where I'm at BQ Speaks, or the YouTube channel, which is Negative BQ. It was the Impact Lounge for years, but I just decided I got to a point with a chat channel. I didn't need to name it after TNA and name it after what TNA was doing. I felt that I could stand on my own 2 feet. So I still call the Impact Review, the Impact Lounge podcast, but the channel is Negative BQ, and then I'm at BQ Speaks on Twitter. The only reason I haven't changed that to Negative BQ on Twitter is because someone's gonna steal BQ Speaks from me and do some kind of parody fucking account or something. I got a lot of people out there who don't like what I do. They don't like the honest approach I take to the company, and I just don't care, dude. When you asked me to do this, send me a message and talked about that you appreciate my honest approach to things, and those are the kind of people I want to fuck with me, and I want to listen to me, and at the end of the day, I don't want to be a fake podcaster that's, oh, I don't know who's listening, and I got to make sure I appease everybody, and dude, I'm just gonna tell you what I think, and if people aren't into that, there's other podcasters that'll massage their pussies a little bit more, but for me, I'm just gonna say if I like it. I always say if I like it, I'll say I like it. If I don't, I'll say I don't. And but yeah, BQ Speaks on Twitter, Negative BQ on YouTube, and my Instagram is a little more private, so I don't really share that.
BQ, ladies and gentlemen, of BQ Speaks. Check him out. He's one of the best, honest pro wrestling straight talk on YouTube, along with Marvin the Movie Monster. Check him out. You can't miss it. He will give you honest, straight facts, not like Dave Meltzer or any of these other clowns. BQ Speaks only on YouTube. Once again, always honor, pleasure having you on the show. We come back. A lot more going on here. Only on its last call. Last call with the alcohol. Only on the Last Call Podcast.com.